I don't know if it's the right key I'm singing in, but hopefully it'll pick it up. The Lord is my light, salvation. I'm ready. Whom shall I fear? Whom shall I be afraid? Come on, say that. The Lord is my light, salvation. Come on. Whom shall I fear? Whom shall I be afraid? Say that again. The Lord is my light, salvation. Come on. Whom shall I fear? I don't have to be afraid of nobody. Say that again. The Lord is my light.
The Lord is my light and salvation. Whom shall I fear? Whom shall I be afraid?
Come on, I will wait.
I will wait on you.
Anybody waiting on God for something this morning, say, I will wait on you.
I will wait on you.
Come on, I will trust in you, God.
I will trust in you.
I will trust in you.
I will trust in you.
Come on, the Lord is my light.
The Lord is my light and salvation.
Shall
I fear? Who shall I be afraid? The Lord is my light and salvation.
Other than me this morning,
whom shall I fear?
Whom shall I be afraid of?
Shall I be afraid?
Come on, God's got you covered to
that. Lord is my light and salvation. Whom shall I fear? Whom shall I
come on, let's wait on. I will wait on you.
I will wait on you. I will wait. Trust in you, you Lord. I will trust in you.
Anybody waiting on God for something today? Whom shall I fear? Of whom shall I be afraid? God's got you, amen? Listen, if God be for me, then who can be against me? Amen? This morning, I don't know about you. Sometimes when you come to church, and I know it happens to me, that I got to fight through some stuff till I get into the presence. Because sometimes some of y'all had to fight to get out here on time. The weather's bad. We're supposed to be having a love feast. The kids didn't act right. Clothes didn't fit right. Something happened to get you kind of off this morning. And so what happens is, and I know I can sense it, it happens with me. Sometimes I'm up in the front row and I'm praising. I'm just talking to myself because I got to remind myself of who I've come to see this morning. Have to remind myself of what I'm here for. I didn't come to just give a word. You didn't come to hear a word. We came to be in the presence of the King of Kings. And to exalt him and praise him and glorify him. And here today, no matter what you're going through in life, no matter what got you confused, no matter what seems so big, the Lord is my light and my salvation. Whom shall I fear? The Lord is the strength of my life. Whom shall I be afraid? No matter what you're facing today, God is bigger. God is bigger. And he's able to do exceeding abundantly above all we can ask or imagine. Amen? Amen. We might sing that again later. I just wanted to get that in this morning. Amen? We serve a good God. Good morning, everybody. Amen. How many of y'all, were you here last Sunday? If you were here last Sunday, could you raise your hand? Amen. How many of y'all aimed high this week? Did you aim high? Was that an awesome word last Sunday? Well, Pastor Paige brought a word last Sunday about aiming higher and how sometimes we sell God short. And God had convicted me this week. And, you know, he convicted me even sometimes when I'm praying, asking God for stuff. I'm still trying to figure out how I can get my situation straight to make it easier for God to do what he need to do. Anybody ever been there? Say, God, I know this is a big deal, so I got to get some stuff in line so I can have you do what you need to do. But God said, no, I just want you to get out my way. And I just want you to do like he said last week. Pastor Pace said, you got to align the facts. You got to put out there that you got a big situation, but you got to put out there that you got an even bigger God. You got to align the facts and say, God, listen, I don't have what it takes. I don't have the resources, but you do. And we got to go out and aim big and aim high this morning. Amen? This morning, what we're going to be doing, we're going to be continuing in the book of Proverbs. Those of you who have been here for the month of September, we've been in the book of Proverbs. And Proverbs is the book of wisdom. We've been talking about how to foolproof your life, how to foolproof your life. This morning, if you could pray with me, we're going to pray and we're going to dive right in this morning. Amen. Dear God, we thank you for this day and we thank you for your word. And we thank you that you have given us an instruction book on how to navigate this life. We thank you, Lord God, that you promised and you said that you came that we might have life and have it full and abundant. God, we pray, Heavenly Father, that today we will experience that abundant life, that we will walk according to your instructions, Father. And watch what you do as a result. That as a result of us following your word and following your instructions, that your name gets glory and people are drawn to you. Now I pray for somebody, Lord, in a room this size with this many people, all of us come with different situations. All of us come, Lord God, with different problems and issues, things on our mind. Lord, I pray that you'll get someone's attention today. I pray that you will save someone, that you will deliver someone, set someone free. Open the eyes of our hearts so we can see you today. We pray and ask it in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. This morning in the book of Proverbs, I'm going to ask you if you turn a familiar passage to some of you, the third chapter of Proverbs. Third chapter of Proverbs, we're going to look at two verses, Proverbs chapter 3, verses 5 and 6. But before we do that, I want to ask, have you guys seen one of these? I hope it'll pull up on the screen. I'm going to see if you've seen one of these before. Boom, there we go. Y'all seen one of those before?
Starting route to 10620 Knollwood Court.
Okay.
Head northeast on Kilbera Drive.
What is this?
Then turn right onto 19th Avenue.
It's a GPS. This morning, we're going to be talking about how to trust your GPS. How to trust your GPS. And what GPS stands for is God's positioning system. God's positioning system. I pulled this up because I don't know about you. I really depend on one of these. Anybody else? I depend on these when I'm going places I know where I'm going. Y'all know I turn on Waze even when I'm going to work in the morning. And I've been going there every day for the last, I don't know how many years. But why? Because, you know, sometimes Waze might give me a shortcut and show me a different way to get around there. So I depend on these. And I had an experience with one of these last weekend. Last weekend we had a men's retreat. And we went to the men's retreat, and it was me and my dad and one of my friend Jeff. We were all going to this men's retreat. And on the way to the men's retreat, my phone died. I had the GPS on, and my phone died. My phone died right on 495 around Springfield. And at that point, I was nowhere close to where we were going. I didn't print the instructions. Used to be, how many of y'all used to use MapQuest? Y'all used to use MapQuest? See, MapQuest, you go to MapQuest, and you print out your instructions for the trip and have it on paper. Nobody does that anymore. Listen, I got a navigation. I have a navigation system in my car, and I forgot to use that. I'm so used to using my phone. My phone died, and I'm like, snap, where are we going? I don't know where we're going. So I'm like, I'm trying to get some more juice in the phone to charge the phone up. It's still not working. And finally, my friend Jeff, he got the instructions on the navigation. Because why? I was hopeless and helpless without my navigation system. I didn't know where I was going. I didn't know how to get to Warrenton. I didn't know how to get to this campsite without this GPS. I was dependent upon that. And this morning, listen, just like I needed directions to get to the men's retreat, you know, some of us today need direction for our life. Let me change that. Not some of us. All of us need direction for our lives. But there are some of us in particular where you're sitting in a place right now where you really need some direction. Like you're saying, God, what step should I take next? Where I'm just confused. You want to hear from God and you're not hearing from God like you'd like to hear from him. And so what you need to do is trust your GPS, and your GPS is God's positioning system. I want you to turn to Proverbs chapter 3, verse 5 and 6. Proverbs chapter 3, verse 5 and 6. It should be up on the screen. I'm going to read these two verses. I'm reading from the New Living Translation. And it says, trust in the Lord with all your heart. Don't depend on your own understanding. Seek his will in all you do, and he will show you which path to take. Man, isn't that's some good instruction. Because how many of you have ever wondered, have ever been between two opinions? Like, okay, should I take this job or that job? Both of them seem good. Should I, you know, there are two schools that have given me, that have accepted me. Should I choose this one or that one? Anybody ever been there? There are two young ladies that are here. Both of them love the Lord, and both of them seem to be, you know, on point. Lord, do I go this way or that way? Which way do I choose? And sometimes you're wondering which direction I take. And it seems like God is saying right here in his word that I'm going to give you really, I'm going to make it simple. He says, if you trust in the Lord with all your heart, don't depend on your own understanding. Seek his will in all you do. And guess what? He's going to show you which path to take. That means I need somebody to show me in every aspect of my life what path I should take. And this morning, I'm going to give you three things that you can do, three steps to trust your GPS, and I'm going to be out of your way this morning. I know some of you have come. If you're our guest here, first of all, we're glad you're here. We're having a love feast today. I'm excited about the food that we're having, but I'm going to just drop this word on you, and then I'm going to let y'all eat. Is that okay? Amen? Amen. Because some of y'all, I know, where's Charles? Charles Nimmons, he texts me, are we still doing the love feast? If y'all haven't had Charles barbecue, you're going to have some of that barbecue today. Amen. So as I got your mouth watering, let's get to it. So how do you trust your GPS? If we look in the Bible, it says right here, the first thing it says to do is what? Trust in the Lord with all your heart. That's the first thing. There are three things. The first thing that you must do in order to receive guidance from God. If you're here today and you're in a state of confusion, or you're in a state of, listen, a quandary. God, what should I do? What decision should I make? What path do you want me to take? First thing God is saying, he wants you to do what? He wants you to rely on him and rest in him. You must rely and rest on God. That is the first thing you do. It says what? Trust in the Lord with all your heart. That word trust right there, what it means to do, it means to find rest in, to means to abide in, to be attached to. That actually is what the word there means, to be attached to abide in, to find rest. It's the same word that is used in Psalm chapter 91. Psalm 91, 1 and 2 says, he who dwells in the shelter of the Most High will rest in the shadow of the Almighty. I will say of the Lord, he is my refuge and my fortress, my God in whom I trust. If you want to get direction from God, your first step is you got to rest in him and you must rely on him. That's trust. That's trust. How many of y'all have ever done a trust fall before? Anybody done a trust fall? Y'all done that before? Al, can you come help me out real quick? Told my wife I was going to do this. I hope Al doesn't make me bust my head on the floor. See, the trust fall, he didn't know I was going to have him do this. You're not hurting or sore or anything. Okay, good. See, what trust fall is, see, me and Al, we go way back. Al and I, what, we were five years old. We've been friends since we were 5 years old. Now we're 35. We're still friends. Y'all caught the joke. Not quite 35, a little bit older. But see, what a trust fall is see what he says, rely, I want you to rely and rest. See, some of us, when we're talking about trusting God, we're looking at God and making sure, okay, are you going to do it? And so what we do is when we fall back, we kind of do like this. We don't want to lay all the way back, but trusting and relying on him. You close enough? Okay, good. Trusting in him means, listen, that relying on God means this, I'm just going to fall back and boom. All 200 pounds goes back and I know that this guy's going to catch me. I'm praying he's going to catch me. Listen, and what he does, thanks, Al. Can you give him a hand, please? What I had to do, what I did right then is, listen, I didn't look. I just had to let, I had to let all of everything go. I couldn't put one foot back and say, listen, I'm going to trust in this, lean some of it. God is saying, what I want you to do, if you want direction from me, what you got to do, you got to be willing to rely on me totally and rescue me. He said, and how does that happen? Right here, like I said, in Psalm 91, he says, he who dwells in the shelter of the Most High will rest in the shadow of the Almighty. How do I rely on God? John 15, verse 7 tells us, he says, if you remain in me and my words remain in you, ask whatever you wish and it will be given you. That's direction. That's it. He said, ask whatever you wish and it will be given you. But what is the precondition? If you remain in me and my words remain in you. You see, listen, relying and resting on God is directly connected to the resting and trusting and abiding in his word. What you got to do, if you want direction from God, you got to rest and you got to rely on the word of God. He said, abide in me, and if my words abide in you. See, if you lean on me and let my words abide in you, then you can ask whatever you want. You can ask whatever you want. How? Why can I ask whatever I want? Because when I'm attached to God and his word is attached to me, then I'm going to ask him what is inconsistent with his nature. And so when I'm asking inconsistency with his nature, then he is duty bound to give me what I'm asking for. Man, that's good. And the problem is, maybe some of us are confused. Maybe that we're not getting direction that we seek because we're not abiding in him. Maybe I'm not attached to him as I should be. Maybe I'm not as connected to him as I should be. You got to rest and abide in him today. And you know what? That's a challenging thing for you and I to do here in 2018. Because there's so many things that compete for my trust. There's so many other things that are competing for my attention. There's social media. I'm looking at my kids. They can't function without a tablet. Have y'all seen that? Children cannot function without tablets, without electronics. I was at a football practice and all the parents said, man, your kid sounds like my kid. Because there's so much that, listen, we've got our tablets. We got, sometimes, listen, we got to trust and rely on him. We got to rest on him. The first thing that I pick up in the morning should not be my iPhone. Should be the word of God. The first thing I hear from in the morning should not be Instagram. It should be from God. It should be some time where I sit before him. And listen, maybe I need to start putting my phone away from my bed because it's so easy for me to pick up my phone. And when I pick up my phone and I see Facebook and Instagram and everything else, guess what it does? It disrupts my rest. It disrupts my rest, and I'm not talking about my sleep. It disrupts my peace. And he said, listen, if you want direction, you got to rest in me. You got to trust in me. And the only way you can do that is spend time in his word. Spend time in his word. Spend time in his presence. Not only just spending time in his word, just spending time in prayer in his presence. Listen, prayer is just simply an expression of our trust and reliance on God. That's what prayer is all about. It's telling God, God, I'm not depending on my own resources. I'm relying on you. My question to you this morning is, are you resting and relying on him? If you're not, that's the first step in the GPS. And trusting your GPS, you got to rest and rely on him. And where does that start? Getting in his word. Every single day, spending time in his word. This year, what we're going to do at the beginning of the year in January, I'm going to be handing out to encourage all of us to begin to read through the Bible. What I'm going to do, we're going to be handing out in January a pattern or a way for you to be able to read through the Bible. It's a two-year plan to read through the Bible 2 years. Not one, but 2 years. To give you a big enough chunk on a daily basis, but small enough that you can digest it. And begin to make a habit of us reading and trusting the Word of God. That's number one. Not only do you have to rest and rely on God, but number two, what you got to do is relinquish your will. You got to relinquish your will. What does the verse says? He says, do not depend on your own understanding. First, what you got to trust in him with all your heart. Second, do not depend on your own understanding. You got to relinquish your will. You can't rely on your own wisdom. You know, with the GPS, is so funny. How many of us at times have been going somewhere and the GPS is telling me to go a different direction? And in my mind, I'm like, I don't know, that takes longer. I put it on because I know where I'm going. But sometimes on my way to work, I'm coming down 210 and it'll tell me, listen, instead of you getting off on 295 to go around, I want you to go straight down and get off of South Capitol Street. What am I do that? That takes too much. That's too much time. But what is that? What the GPS has the ability to do? See, it depends on satellites and other things that is saying. Listen, I can see in ahead of you, and I know that if you take 295, there's a backup on 295. So what I'm telling you to go do another direction that on a normal day will take you longer, but today it's going to take 15 minutes off your commute. And so what you got to do, it just like with my GPS, I got to be able to listen. I got to be able to see that thing can see ahead of me. My GPS even tells me roadkill ahead. Y'all hear that? Man, that thing knows what's coming. How many know we see a God? We have a God who sits enthroned above the circle of the earth. He's the Alpha and Omega, beginning and the end. He was before there was, and he will be after everything is gone. And he see, listen, this is how, listen, our God is an infinite God. Do you know God sees you and Abraham at the same time? See, Abraham wasn't history. It's all in the present to God. It's too much for your mind to conceive, because the Bible says he is the I am God. So what God is saying, what I want you to do is relinquish your will. You got to rely on me, and everything that you trust, everything that you see, you can't depend on your own eyesight, because I can see way in front of you. See, I got to believe that God is right about everything. God is right about everything. How many of us have a testimony of a decision you were going to make and everything seemed like this was a good thing to do? All of your senses said, this is the way I should go. But God, something said, listen, no, I want you to go in the other direction. God was protecting you. The children of Israel, when they came out of Egypt, God took them on a circuitous route to get where they needed to go, because he said, I'm protecting you. The way I'm taking you is a way, because listen, I know you're not ready for battle yet. So I'm going to take you on around the way so you don't have to deal with that. God is protecting us. You know, this reminds me of an illustration. How many of you remember John F. Kennedy Jr.? Y'all remember JFK Jr.? And I'm not sure which year it was, but he crashed his plane. He was flying his plane, and he crashed his plane. And I read this illustration. I want you to hear what exactly happened to him. It says that the inner ear is equipped with tubes of liquid that shift in response to any movement, while the mind compares these signals against this fixed sensation of gravity. This balancing apparatus signals the pilot's mind and says, you're strapped into a seat that is now as level as if you were sitting squarely at your kitchen table. By contrast, at the same moment he was feeling perfectly right side up, talking about JFK Jr., the aircraft instruments, when correctly interpreted, conveyed the message, your wings are tilted steeply to the right of level, the nose of this airplane is pointing way down, and your airspeed is already howling past the red line. So you see, his instruments were telling him, you're in danger. But because what his senses were telling him, I'm sitting on level. This is what happened. It says the airplane's flight path creates forces that befuddle one's awareness of Earth's gravity. To judge by the sensations in the seat of your pants, you literally can't tell up from down, left from right. You're as helpless to move out of the airplane's acceleration field as you would be if you were pinned to the side of a spinning circus centrifuge when the floor drops away. And here is the crux of the matter. The pilot's emotions drowned out the flight instrument's story about banking and diving at high speed, and screamed out, no way, it can't be. I'm actually flying straight and level. I know it. It feels true. So the real skill of instrument flying consists of the ability to regain control of the airplane when it inevitably veers off in alarming directions. Instructions call this life saving skill, recovery from unusual attitudes. And the mindful instructor always gives beginners big doses of it. Attitude describes an aircraft's position relative to the earth. What I'm here to tell you is what happened here with JFK. It said he was flying by the seat of his pants. What does that mean? He was going by how he felt, but the instruments were telling him something different. And in life, how many of us live life by how we feel, by God's word is telling us something different? And what I've come to find out, that God's word sometimes will tell me to do what is different, natural to my feelings. Usually what's natural to my feelings goes against what God wants me to do right there. And so what happens when I go with my feelings, I'm like JFK. I'm living life by the seat of my pants, and I'm going to end up crashing. What I have to do is trust the instrument of his word. So if you want God's positioning system, you must rely and rest on God. And what you must do, you got to relinquish your will and your wisdom. You got to recognize that, God, you're right about, I know I feel this way, but your word says this. So what I must do, he said, I cannot depend on my own understanding. That's a hard thing to do because your feelings are strong. And JFK Jr., he said he felt as though he were as level as sitting at a kitchen table. And I like it. He says, listen, that following the instruments is called recovery from unusual attitudes. Some of us got unusual attitudes this morning. Attitudes that are not consistent with the word of God. And if you want God to direct you and guide you, what you got to be willing to do is say, listen, not my will, but your will be done. I know I feel this way, but as I look at your word is telling me something different. So God, I'm going to step away from my feelings. I'm going to deny myself, take up my cross, follow you. How many of you want God's direction today? If you want God's direction, you got to be willing to trust his word. If you want God's direction, you got to be willing to relinquish your will. And a final thing, if you want God's direction, look, there's a scripture with relinquish your will. I want you to write this down. Proverbs 14:12. I want you to write this down. It says, there is a way that appears to be right, but in the end, it leads to death. That's powerful. There's a way that appears to be right, but in the end, it leads to death. Wasn't that true with my man, with JFK? It seemed right, but it ends in death. This morning, you might be following a way that seems right. I see it all the time. I've had couples come to me for counseling, and they're living together. Seems right. Seems like it's an economical thing to do. Goes against the word of God. I know what my feelings say. I know what my urges say. But God's word says, flee youthful lust, flee fornication. So I know that's what my feelings say, but God, your word says something. And if I follow my feelings, it leads to death. So you gotta relinquish your will. The final thing, after you rest and rely on God, after you relinquish your will, the last thing, look at verse 6, you gotta run after his glory. Says, seek his will in all you do, and he will show you which path to take. Seek his will in some of the stuff that you do. What does it say? Seek his will in all you do. See, you not only, you got to rest in him, you got to rely on him, you got to trust his word. You got to trust his word, but not only that, you got to be willing to seek his will. See, trusting his word is one thing. Putting aside your desires is another thing. And now he said, what I want you to do is proactively pursue my glory. He says, seek his will in all you do. What God is asking you to do is run after his glory. If you want God to direct your life, my question is, the things that I do, are they aimed at bringing glory to God? See, I've told somebody this. They're looking, they're asking about God, what should I do? Well, how do I know what God's will is? How do I know what decision to make? And there are certain things. God is not in the Bible going to tell you what job you should choose. He's not going to tell you that this girl is better, is right for you, and that one is not. But he gives you principles. And what there are certain things that he has revealed. There are certain things that, of his will that are obvious that, for God. And my question, what God is saying, while you're asking for my direction, are you obeying me and what I've already revealed to you? Are you doing what I told you to do on the basics? Is your life aimed at pleasing me? Are you desiring my glory? Are you running after my glory? If I'm running after God's glory, he said, listen, my Bible says the eyes of the Lord go to and fro the earth, seeking to show himself strong who have a heart perfect toward him. What does this mean? Are you devoted to the king? Everything that I do in my life, God, is my focus to bring you glory. 1 Corinthians chapter 10, verse 31 says, so whether you eat, whether you drink, whatever you do, do all for the glory of God. My question to us today is, all of my decisions, are they aimed at bringing God glory? I had to ask myself that question. And the answer is actually, and honestly, no, sometimes not. And it's not because I'm aiming to displease God. Sometimes I'm just worried about my own glory. Anybody else with me? Guess I'm out here by myself. I might as well confess. Do you know sometimes when I make decisions on a daily basis, it's not really thinking about God's glory. I'm thinking about my glory. Thinking about what I'd like to do. What car I'd like to drive. I'm thinking about, you're not even considering it. And what God is saying, what I want you to do is listen, everything, every decision in your life, how would it bring me glory? How would it bring me glory? When I get to that point in my life, again, he says, I will instruct you and I will teach you and I will guide you in the way that you should go. Matthew chapter 6, verse 33. He says, what are we to do? Matthew 6, 33. I'm going to read it from New Living Translation. It says, seek the kingdom of God above all else. Seek the kingdom of God above all else. Seek the kingdom of God above your promotion, above secure finances. Seek the kingdom of God above your scholarship. Seek the kingdom of God above the mate that you're looking for. Seek the kingdom of God above what neighborhood you should choose. Seek the kingdom of God above what house you should live in. Seek the kingdom of God above how I should raise my children. Seek the kingdom of God above all else. And then he said, when you do that and live righteously, because when you seek my kingdom, then you're going to try to live in a way that points to me. Then he says, what he will do, he will give you everything else you need. Man, what a promise. What a promise. He said, everything else you need is tied in to my glory. When you run after my glory, you don't have to worry about the house. When you run after my glory, you don't have to worry about what spouse you're going to choose. Because guess what he said? Now I'm duty bound. Now my heart is, listen, you got a heart toward me. What I'm going to do, I'm seeking to show myself strong. I'm seeking to show direction to the person whose whole purpose in life is to bring glory to me. You want God's direction? Run after his glory. Run after his glory. Seek his kingdom. What do I mean by seeking his kingdom? That the way I live my life is in such a way that it points to him, brings glory, so people are drawn to him. His desire, the Bible says in his word, he said he will build his church. He will build his church. And what God wants you to do in such a way and live in such a way that, listen, we always talk about going out and being a witness. And this morning, God convicted me. I don't know why God put my next door neighbor on my heart this morning. You know, I watched him. I was talking to him last week. He came. He was coming back from the Redskins game, and we're talking, both very highly frustrated and irritated. And I was talking to him, and my wife said to me that, you know what? There's something going on next door. And how many of you seen, you know, we're nosy people. You know, you could kind of, you just watch. You see your neighbors. Y'all see your neighbor. All of y'all nosy. I'm not just a nosy man. But you can tell, and you can just see on the countenance of people, man, there's something going on. And I saw him this morning. I was out leaving the church. He was out smoking a cigarette in his driveway. And I saw him, and I just started praying for that brother. And I said, God, give me an opportunity. Show me how to reach this man with the goodness of Jesus Christ. pray that. And I was walking the dog this morning in the rain. I was walking the dog and I said, God, we've been here over a year. God, we show us how to reach this neighborhood. You want us to live for your glory. My life should be in such a way that you get glory, that people are drawn to me and drawn to me so that they're drawn to you. And when you do that, when you live in that way, guess what? He will direct your path. So today, there's nothing worse than being lost. There's nothing worse than being lost and confused. How many of y'all have ever been lost at an amusement park? How many of you went to King's Dominion, little kid, and got lost? Anybody ever been lost? Kid been lost? Lost in a store? There's nothing worse than being lost. And the thing about it is, look, there's some of us this morning who are lost. There's some Christians here who are saying, listen, I'm lost because I don't know which way, what decision I should make in my life. You're lost in that sense. It's like, God, what will you have me to do? I'm on this job and I'm sensing you're trying to take me in another direction, but I don't know which way you want me to take. Which way should I take? You're lost in that sense. Some of you are lost about, listen, what school to choose, what job to choose. I don't know. But God, the thing about it is God does not want you to be confused. He's not here to trick you. He's here. He wants to give you direction. All he's waiting is for you to rest and rely on him, to relinquish your will and run after his glory. When he does, when you begin to do that, guess what? Things that seem confusing to you, he will turn the light on for you. And he will direct your path. And you will walk in the way God has you, and he gets the glory out of it. Second person here, there's somebody else here. Listen, God wants to direct us not only in making decisions in life, but he also wants to give you direction for your eternal destiny. God create, there are some people here today, there might be somebody here today who you're living life and listen, you're asking, what am I, God, what else, why am I even here? What is my purpose for existing? God is here to tell you today, your purpose for existing is to give you him glory. He created you to love you. God wants a personal relationship with you. The God of the universe created you and designed you to be in intimate relationship with you, but our relationship was broken by something called sin. And today, he doesn't want you to be lost anymore. He wants you to walk according to your purpose, and your purpose is to be in relationship with God. And the only way you can have a relationship with God is to have your sins forgiven. See, the Bible says all have sinned and fallen short of God's glory. The Bible also says that the wages of our sin is death, but the gift of God is eternal life through Jesus Christ our Lord. And the way you can move from being lost to being found, from being outside of God's protection to inside of God's protection, is first admitting that you are a sinner separated from God. To sin just simply means to fall short of God's standard. God has a standard. God is perfect, and he does not tolerate anything other than perfection. Do you know that God doesn't let imperfect people into heaven? Nobody imperfect gets in. The only way you get access to the kingdom is to be perfect. The problem is you can't be perfect. The only one who is perfect is God. So what he said, I'm going to take these imperfect people and I'm going to attribute to them my perfection when they put their faith and trust in my son, Jesus Christ. When you make that decision, now when he looks at me, when he looks at you, he will no longer see your sins. He will just see his son. And he'll say, welcome in. Welcome in to my rest. This morning, if you're lost and you've never come to know Jesus as your Lord and Savior, we want to give you an opportunity to do that today. All you got to do is admit that you're a sinner. All of us are. Believe that God sent his son Jesus Christ to die on the cross, that he was buried and that he rose again. And then make the choice to accept him into your life, ask him to forgive you of all of your sin, and make you who he wants you to be. And when you do that, you can move from being lost to being found. And then you have access to his wisdom and his word, and he can direct you in your life every step that you need to take. Amen? Can we all stand together? Can we all stand? Trust your GPS. Trust God's positioning system. How do you trust it? You got to rely on and rest in God's word. You must relinquish your will. After you relinquish your will, you got to run after his glory. You got to chase it, y'all. And when you do that, he'll give your life direction. Can we bow our heads and close our eyes? every head bowed, every eye closed. This morning, if you're here today and you say, Pastor Dwayne, listen, I've been looking for some direction in my life. I've got some decisions to make. I just need some prayer. God's convicted me about me trusting him. I know, I admit, I have not been trusting him like I should. I've been trying to hold on to some of my own wisdom and some of my own desires, and I haven't fallen back on him and trusted him and actually run after what he wants me to do. And today I want to get that right before God. If that's you, raise your hand so we can pray for you. Every head bowed, every eye closed. You don't have to, no one looking around. If you just want prayer for God's direction in your life, I see that hand. Anyone else? I see that hand. I see that hand. Said, I need prayer for God's direction in my life. Lord, help me to trust him. I see those hands. Praise your name, God. He's able to do it. Dear God, we pray for these who's with hands raised who say, listen, we're looking for direction. Lord, we want you to guide us. Show us which way to take. They've raised a hand and maybe saying, Lord, I admit that I haven't been trusting you like I should. Forgive me and help me to run after your glory today. Lord, no, though they may have been lost, no, they may have been confused in the past, God, make very clear your will to them. And I pray, God, that you will put in their heart to pursue you and get into your word, abide in you and your word, and that their life will not be the same. We thank you and praise you. With every head bowed, every eye still closed, I want to give someone else the opportunity to come to know Jesus Christ for the very first time. If you're here today and you don't know, you're not really quite sure where you stand with God, you're not sure whether today were to end, with this world were to end today, you're not certain whether you would go to heaven or hell, and you want to be sure where you stand with God. You want to be sure your sins are forgiven, you're right with God. If that's you, you say, I want to be certain, I want to know that I know that I know that when I leave this earth, I will go to spend eternity with God in heaven. If you want to be certain of that and you're not sure, could you raise your hand so we can show you how to make sure of that? I see those hands. Anyone else? Anyone else? Every head bowed, every eye closed. No one looking around. It's just you and God right now. Anybody else? Say, I want to be certain that I'm in right relationship with God today. Anybody else? See that hand. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. Dear God, Heavenly Father, I thank you for the hands that are raised. Now, thank you, Lord God, just by the decision in raising their hand, you've already moved. And I pray, Heavenly Father, that whatever has gone on in their past, that they'll understand that you're a God of not second chance, but another chance. That, Lord God, that your word says, Lord, that you remember our sins no more. That you're a God who's already forgotten what we can't forget. And then, Lord God, your forgiveness today is available to them. Let them walk in your mercy and your forgiveness. Let them know your love, your unconditional love for them. And God, that you will walk with them and guide them and direct them and show them how to walk an abundant life. We thank you for your mercy. We thank you for your grace. We pray, Heavenly Father, that as a church, we'll be people who relinquish our will and run after your glory. And as a result, your kingdom will continue to expand. We praise you. We honor you. In Jesus' name, amen. Amen.